Amen. What a wonderful name. Praise the Lord. And welcome again to Picnic Sunday, Friends and Family Sunday. It's great to have all of you here. I just wanted to, first of all, before we launch into this morning's message, say a very special happy birthday to our official Toastmaster, Toastmistress of birthdays herself. It's Neola Parsons' birthday today. So Neola, in honor of you and the dance that you do on birthday Sunday, that's all I'm gonna do right here. But I wanted to, again, invite all of you to join us for our picnic immediately after the service. And I just wanted to share a few points that I shared in a bulletin that I sent out on Saturday to our church family, our members, and our regular attendees, just to give you sort of a heads up on how we're handling today. We recognize that today is the hottest day of the year, and our picnic is going to be outside, of course. And so we wanted to just share with you how we're viewing this so that you can be maximally safe and comfortable and experience the convenience of the day. One of the things that I mentioned is that the baptisms will begin approximately at 1:30, and they will last for about 15 to 20 minutes. So that'll be on the front end of the picnic. So those of you who would like to come just for the baptisms, that's what we're going to do at 1:30. Please be respectful of others' space and comfort level, and practice social distancing and refrain from, I know it's hard, it's difficult, but refrain from hugging unless you are invited to do so. Don't assume that people want to be hugged. Please, please be considerate of others. And because this is a bring your own event, there's no need for standing in line. So we won't be standing outside in line. You won't be standing inside in line, of course, because the only line that you have to be concerned about is the line leading to your food. And there won't be any standing in line, and there's no designated time to eat. So if you want to eat as soon as you arrive there, you can, and then pause and go join the baptisms, or you can wait till afterwards. There's no designated time. Also, there's several cooling options that are available. Because this is such an extreme condition, we have several cooling options available. The shady trees on the property, we were just there yesterday. The brothers, the men's group were helping to set up, and we were moving around, and sitting under the tree was surprisingly comfortable. So those big shady trees, don't underestimate how much they can bring cool and breezes underneath. Also, we're going to have several cooling stations inside the Fellowship Center, rooms where there's AC, where you can just sit down and cool off if you really feel the need for extra cooling for a bit. The pool, of course, is available for dipping in. Basting in this weather is more like it. But a lifeguard is on guard and on duty from 1 to 5. So you can feel free to take advantage of the coolness. I plan to, I can tell you that. And besides the baptisms, there are no planned activities. So you can drop by just to say hi, just to see everybody. Stay for just a few minutes, stay just long enough to eat. It's up to you. So even though the time is from 1 to 5, you don't have to stay from 1 to 5. Okay. All right. Let's get into this morning's message as we conclude our series on spiritual warfare. I would like to this morning expand on a couple of meditations that I had this week on our always glorious, our always secure relationship with the Lord that we were singing about, the wonderful name. What a wonderful name His is to us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning as we wrap up our series on spiritual warfare. The text, or what I want to share this morning, is undergirded by our text, which is from Psalm 50. If you don't mind turning there, Psalm 50. We're going to look at verses 8 through 12. Psalm 50, 8 through 12. A psalm of Asaph. Psalm 50, 8 through 12. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices, says the Lord. Well, you know what? Let's go up to 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the truths, Lord, that you want us to extract from your word. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would bless our exploration of the principles of that truth and the implications that those truths have for our lives going forward. We thank you for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message is titled, What Does God Want From Me? What does God want from me? What does God want? Does he want me to regularly go to church? Would that satisfy him? Would he be happy if I just regularly went to church? Does he want me to be charitable to my fellow man? Does he want me to learn whatever Ebenezer Scrooge needed to have three spirits teach him about charity for his fellow man? Does he want me to get rid of all my vices? Or at least keep trying to get rid of them? What does God want from me? What does he want? It seems like a reasonable question, but that's not the essential question. Because God doesn't have wants. God doesn't have wants as we know them, as we think of wants. He's full. He is complete. He's the creator of everything outside of himself. So church, does he want me to go to church? Well, though the Lord has given us plenty of direction on the wisdom of going to church and the blessing of going to church, he doesn't need us to attend in order to satisfy himself. What about finances? Though he gives us a lot of directives on our finances, he doesn't need our money to satisfy himself because he's able to multiply whatever we give him. Where is the multiplication coming from? From his bounty. What is going on up here, guys? Should I switch? Am I good? Okay, I'm just hearing this piercing feedback. All right. So, does he want my stuff? Does he want my stuff? He doesn't need our stuff because the earth and everything in it is already his, as we saw. Everything we own is on loan because we certainly cannot take it with us when we leave. And we are leaving. Some folks don't think they're leaving. They think that they came to stay instead of they came to pass. We came to pass. We didn't come to stay. And so everything we have, even if we possess it to the very end of our lives, even if we can secure it to the very end of our lives, it's still on loan because it will be here when we're gone. When we go to Thomas Jefferson's place and hang out there. Laverne and I, and we go through his house and we see all these neat things that he invented. And we say, wow, how neat these things are. And we can't touch them, but we can get real close to them. And we're thinking, you know, if old Tom was here, he wouldn't approve of this, of us being so close to his stuff, traipsing through his house. But old Tom's not here. And Tom left all of his stuff right back here with us. So he doesn't need our stuff. It's his anyway. Does he need our service? The scripture gives us much. It gives us much about living a life of service. And yet the Lord doesn't need our service for himself, because all things are possible with him. And there's nothing that we can do for him that he can't do for himself. So in that sense, he doesn't want or need our service. What about worship? The scriptures are filled with exhortations to praise. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Worship the Lord in holy array. But he doesn't need our worship. Because as Jesus said, the rocks will cry out, the rivers will clap their hands, the mountains will sing for joy, and the heavens are already declaring the glory of God. Amen. And so he doesn't need it from us in that way. So what does he want from me? He's got everything and he doesn't need anything. What does he want from me? What about love? The first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And yet, he doesn't need our love for himself in order to be satisfied. And you know why? Because he is love. Anything that we're giving to him by way of love comes from him. So he is love. It came from us in the first place. So what does he need from me? What does he want then? What do I have that I can give to him? See, the essence of our text from Psalm here and other portions of scripture just like it, like Isaiah 66, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hands made all these things. And so even the churches that we build, God is like, well, you know, that's a good try. And I appreciate the effort, but where is a house you could build that can contain me? I can't fit in there, y'all. And yet, my presence is in your midst. So what is it, Lord, that you want from me? God is going to be fine no matter what we do or don't do. Let me just say it again. God is going to be just fine. He is not dependent upon us to do anything for his okayness. He's not dependent upon us for anything, for him to be satisfied and happy and content. He is all that in himself. He was before the world began, and he will be when the world is no more. So what does God want for me? And let me just say this, when he says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. And he talks about, I own all these things. This isn't God expressing contempt. And it's not God expressing disdain for our efforts and our desire to please him and serve him. He is in no way poo-pooing that. What this is, it's a statement of perspective. It's a statement that puts our effort into the proper context. Into the proper context. It's a statement that leads us to what is the essential question. The essential question is not, what does God want from me? What does God want me to do? The essential question is, what does God want from us? Or for us, I should say. It's not what he wants from us. It's what does God want for us then? If there's nothing we can do that he can't do for himself, then obviously what he's asking us to do is for us. He's got it together. He's satisfied. He's self-contained. So what does he want from me? He doesn't want anything from me. He wants something for me. He wants something for us. And according to the scriptures, Isaiah 43 begins to tell us what that is. It says in Isaiah 43:7, it says, we were created by him for his glory. He created us for his glory. That means he made us to be two things, recipients of his glory and reflections of that glory. That's what he made us for, to be recipients of his glory and then to be reflections of that glory. What is the glory of God? What is it that he wants us to receive? What is it that he wants us to reflect? The glory of God is the manifestation of his attributes. It's a manifestation of all that he is. The glory of a rose is in its color, in its fragrance, and in its form. The glory of the sea is in its power and its impressive vastness. The glory of the heavens is in their splendor and their infiniteness. And yes, that is a word. I said, is there infinity or is infiniteness a word? And Google said, yes. So if you don't like it, argue with Google. The glory of the heavens is in their splendor and in their infiniteness. And God's glory is the source of all other glories. All other things derive their glory from the glory of God. Without God's glory, there is no glory anyplace else. So the glory of God is the manifestation of his attributes, of all that he is. We were created to receive and to reflect his glory. And to that end, of receiving and reflecting his glory. This is what he wants for us. He wants for us the glory that comes from trusting in him. The glory that comes from trusting in him. The glory that comes from a heart level, personal relationship with him that expands and deepens day by day. He wants for us the glory of knowing him and continuing to get to know him. He wants this for us so that his glory, these are the means by which his glory fills us up and fills our lives with out of this world blessings. His glory fills us up with out of this world blessings and reflects itself to all around us so that they too will be drawn to himself. We are the apple of his eye because of what he wants to give to us, not because of what he wants from us. The ultimate display of his glory is Jesus Christ himself. When God wanted to give the ultimate display of his glory, bigger than the heavens, wider than the oceans, and all the other aspects of glory, it says he placed Jesus down here as the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of the Father's nature. If you want to know what glory is, look, it says the glory is in the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:6. So in Jesus, we see the expression of his power. In Jesus' ministry, we see God's power reflected, the glory of his power. We see his wisdom. We see his beauty. We see the justice and the immortality of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All that God is, all the glory that exists in God himself showed up one day on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the truth of who he is. And for those of us who've placed our faith in him, a walk with Christ through this life is often an unexpected, unlikely, and fascinating journey. We have been blessed to not only have the Lord in our life, but as Grace was sharing supernaturally about Jesus and his life, we've been invited not only to invite him into our life, but we're also included in his life. And we're invited to participate in the glory of his works. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We have been invited to participate in the glory of his works. That's the amazing arrangement that we've been given. A mutual sharing of lives with our Creator. Him sharing our life and us sharing his life with him. That's what fellowship, being called into fellowship with Jesus Christ, as the scripture says, all of us have been. All of us have been called into fellowship with him. What does that mean? Sharing his life, his glory, experiencing him in our lives and experiencing ourselves in his life. Woo! That's some big stuff. But it's the truth. What does God want for me? The sharing of our lives. What does he want? He wants to share my life and wants me to share his life. That's why Jesus came. At the beginning of last week, last Monday, I said to the Lord, you know, I had come to a place of me fatigue. You know what me fatigue is? It's when you're just tired of thinking about you. You're just tired of your own life. You know, you can't ask anymore. You're just done. It's like you're tired and you just have me fatigue. And I came across some me fatigue last week and I said, you know, Lord, I would appreciate it if, you know, I'd rather not focus on my life today. Can we do that? Serious conversation. Can we not just focus on my life today? I'd rather just tag along with you as you live your life and be part of it. Now, we're in a car with somebody, and you're driving along, and you're talking about you. After a while, you just get tired, and you want them to talk about themselves. I was like, okay, Lord, you know what? I want to drive along and let you talk for a while. You know, you carry the ball, and I'll just tag along and watch and help out wherever I can. And boy, did I, let me tell you something. The Lord is tricky, and he's creative, because boy, did I get a mind full, a heart full, and an eye full. And it happened as soon as I ended my walk with that conversation with the Lord and I came back to my home. It began. And it began with Laverne being on the phone, praying with and praying for her brother. And immediately it came into my mind, that's me living my life through Laverne. I live my life through my people. So you are seeing me right now living my life through Laverne. Wow, Lord. And I told Laverne, a big old smile came on my face. She was wondering why I was cheesing so big. And I told her, I said, wow, the Lord just gave me a view of him living his life through you as you were praying with and praying for your brother. And the excitement and joy that she had in doing so, as she talked about it, it's like, I am living my life through Laverne. And she is receiving my glory coming through her and ministering to her brother. That's me living my life. It didn't stop there, because the Lord made it plain. You know, I live my life through my people. And I had breakfast with Dave Perrin. And we were just sitting there just talking. He was sharing portions of his journey. I'm sharing portions of my journey, as we do when we get together. And as I listened to where Dave is and what God's been doing in his life, it was clear in my mind then, hey, this is me at work. Because I'm not only working through my people, I'm working in them. I'm working in Dave Perrin, and you're hearing it. And you know what? I'm working in you too. He's working in all of us. God is at work in you, and that's how he's living his life. I'm seeing it. Wow. And then the next day as I was walking, I heard somebody call out to me, and it was Emma. And I told you guys about Emma maybe a year ago or so, maybe not quite that long, but I found her Bible on my way back from on one of my walks. I found her Bible. And anyway, she stopped me again this past week to tell me what a blessing it was that I had found that Bible and that I had pursued getting it back to her. And she remembered all the details of it and recounted all the details to me again. And she said, you know what? Let me tell you something. That was nothing but God. She said it loud and clear. She said, that I think about all the details of that. That was nothing but God, she said. And she said it with Baptist fervor. That was nothing but God. And I said, amen, sister. And she told me how even though that Bible is falling all apart, she said, it's falling all apart, she said, but it's so precious to me, partly because the woman that gave it to her had transitioned 10 years ago. But then because of all the special things that she's written in the Bible and how long she's had it and the places she's taken it, she was so overjoyed to get it that she told the story over and over and over again about what it took for me to track her down to get the Bible to her. And now she's known by many as the woman with that precious Bible, she said. That's the woman with that precious Bible. But she was glorifying God. And I was saying, wow, Lord, this is you living your life, doing special things for us. Doing special things for us that only we can truly appreciate as coming from him. I felt her energy. I felt her excitement. But I couldn't enter into how much meaning that had for her. All I could do is take my cues from her exuberance, her excitement, her hallelujah, and her, that ain't nothing but God. But to her, he had made that crystal clear that that was from him to her as a special gift. And that's God living his life. That's what he does. He's done that for me. Has he done that for you? Where he's done something like that and you just know that he did it for you. That's him living his life. So I'm like, thank you, Lord, for letting me tag along and seeing you living your life. None of this had anything to do with me. It had everything to do with observing you. I didn't have to worry about nothing. I didn't have to pray about nothing. I didn't have to try to fix anything. I didn't have to try to make anything happen. I was just tagging along. Amen. And seeing God at work. Isn't that beautiful? That is just absolutely. I was soaring thinking about all of that. Creation, when creation is doing its thing, that's God living his life. You know, the natural forces of this world are being powered by the supernatural power of God. He's holding it all together, the scripture says. He's making it all happen, even what we consider nature. He's the one who powers nature. He gives energy to nature. He not only created it, he keeps it going. So I'm walking, and all these things happen on my walk. It's amazing. I walked around a corner, and sitting on a bench was a young lady. And as I passed by, she greeted me with just such a sweet voice. And she said, hello, good morning. And then she smiled, and it was a smile that just brightened up her young face. Just. And I walked past, I smiled and said hello, and I walked past, and I'm continuing. And I was just inclined to circle back. So I circled back, and I walked, and I said to her, I said, "Are you sitting out here having your morning meditation?" And then she really brightened up. I mean, then she really blinded. It's like the wattage went way up. And she said, "Oh, yes, I am just sitting here taking in my Lord's creation and just enjoying him this morning." And I was like, "I hear you. That's what I'm doing, walking around with this stick. I'm enjoying the Lord too. I'm praying and I'm talking to him." So we had this moment of fellowship, and she asked what church I went to, and I told her about our church a little bit. And she said, "Well, you know, I hear you." When I said it was non-denominational, apparently she was really fired up about that. I don't know why, but she was. And she said, "You know, because my religion is Jesus Christ. That's what I'm focused on, Jesus." And I said, "Hallelujah, sister. We're in the same religion." "That's mine too. It's all about him." And we had this moment of fellowship. Boy, the breezes, the seasons changing, the sunshine, the rain. That's God living his life, doing what he does. So I was thankful for that. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here. I'll tell you this. You know, you've heard me quote Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 quite often. "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me." But it was the second part of that verse that stood out to me, that the Lord blessed me with as I considered what it means to just, you know, tag along with him. It says that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. And what came to mind and what came to heart and what filled me with joy is this simple thought: wherever we see love being expressed, wherever we see love and mercy being expressed on this earth, that's God at work. Amen. That is God at work. He's the one that's exercising loving kindness and mercy on the earth. Wherever we see love, even in its imperfect form, because even though there is love in the world, it's imperfect because, like creation, it's been subject to the fall. But a day is coming when it will be perfect and complete. But to the degree that it exists at all on this planet, anywhere, that is God exercising love. I'm the one who exercises loving kindness and justice. If there's justice on earth, anywhere, that's God exercising justice. And one day the scripture says it will be perfect justice in the millennium when he's reigning here on earth, and there will still be unbelievers on earth during the millennium. That's why the Lord will be ruling with a rod of iron. But there will be many who are coming to know him. But it says that he exercises justice on the earth. And righteousness. Wherever there is righteousness, when people do the right thing, and not the wrong thing, when somebody decides to lend a helping hand to somebody, or they decide to turn in that wallet that they found, they call you up on the phone and say, "I found your wallet." when someone chooses the right thing instead of the wrong thing. That is the influence of God exercising righteousness on the earth. It's Him living His life. So God let me tag along as I requested, and He allowed me to see Him living His life. And, you know, after that, I realized that, you know, my spiritual aspiration, the desire to seek Him, even the desire to tag along with Him, all of that is God living His life too, because it came from Him. So even that desire for me to want to see Him living His life and tag along, He said, you know what? You're always tagging along. Did you know that? Surprise, surprise. When you think you're working it, really what you're doing is just responding to me. And so really, you're not working it at all. You're always tagging along. God is at work in you. I'm at work in you. And so those inclinations and desires that lead you to want me or to want to be near me or to finally give up and realize you don't have to fix it all, guess what? That's me living my life and doing what I do. And I am done.
So the song that we're going to sing to close us with is When I Think About the Lord. Oh my God, after that word, don't you just see when you thought you did something yourself? That it wasn't because of you, but it was because of Him? Hallelujah. So when I think about the Lord and think about how He saved me one day, I was selfish in my own thoughts and I knew what was right. I knew what was good. And I come to find out that my rightness and goodness was not right or good. But He taught me what was. So He picked me up and He turned me around. And He placed my feet on solid ground. And that rock is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
How He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. When I think about Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground.
What do you want to do?
It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the praise.
We thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your presence. We thank you for blessing us, Lord, with your love for us. And Lord, when we think about you, 10,000 tongues, Lord, are not enough to praise your glorious name. We ask, Lord, that as we leave this place, that your glory would be our celebration, that we would be more and more aware of your glory as you fill us and as you work through us to bless others with your glory. We thank you for the privilege of having a God who wants for us, not from us. And we thank you for all the ways you reassure us. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say amen. 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 God bless you all. See you at 1:30. Amen.